Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
Got a minute?
So, it depends. It depends on what the minute's for. You know, I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I am remembering more and more this scene a couple of years ago where our representative out here in California, in my neighborhood, Maxine Waters, was on the floor of the House. And she'd yielded to somebody who gave like a perfectly nonsensical interjection to whatever it was that they were debating. And then at the end, they were saying, so the gentlewoman from California has run out of time because she gave it to this guy. She said, no, I am reclaiming my time. We are not doing this. I was polite. I gave over to him for a minute. I'm going to finish saying what I had to say. And so reclaiming my time has turned into a meme and a sweatshirt and a bunch of other things. I have a coffee mug on my desk as we speak that has a picture of a really annoyed Maxine with reclaiming my time underneath it. And people just sort of use it as shorthand for, I'm not doing that nonsense. And I think the beginning of a year when we're sort of turning over a fresh leaf or we have a clean slate or whatever hackneyed metaphor you want to use, is a good time to decide whether or not you're actually going to reclaim the time that's yours. So my decision was that some things I don't have a minute for anymore, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it.
And how's that working out?
Well, let's just say that yesterday, my husband looked up and said, oh, wow, I forgot. We have a baby shower to go to, and it's on Saturday. I said, what do you mean we have a baby shower? I don't know anybody having a baby. He says, oh, one of my colleagues is, found out he's having a baby, and so they're having a baby shower for the couple at whatever time on Saturday. And I said, A, I'd already committed to doing something a couple of weeks ago. B, I don't know these people. See, I'll take care of the present, and you may go if you want, because you do know both of them, but I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to feel bad about doing it. So it may not make me popular, but it may give me some breathing room, and right now, that's more important to me than being the belle of the ball.
And good job. It's early January. What was his response?
He sort of looked at me and said, that's fair.
Okay. Because I think that one of the things that one of the advantages you have is you know how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for some people who have spent their time basically not verbally communicating, if you mm-hmm. write something like that, it seems mm-hmm. harsher. My sister-in-law, by the way, did this to me, and I've known her for years, and mm-hmm. it still sounds like, oh, I'm just terribly timed. She had asked me for something, and mm-hmm. I had responded, and then she had said, well, you know, actually, I can't do that because I'm so time-deprived. And if it had been a verbal dialogue, now she's out mm-hmm. in California, so she's Mrs. Screen, but mm-hmm. but if it had been a verbal dialogue, she would have found herself in much less diplomatic difficulty, let's just say, mm-hmm, than she mm-hmm. did, because it ended up sounding, A, really rude, and B, hey, babe, you asked.
Yeah, so, like you did me a solid, and now I'm not going to be bothered with
right.
you for whatever.
And again, it's simply a distinction. It's a nuance of communication, because more people need to literally, in my view, say, hey, no, that's not on my dance card.
Well, number one, excuse me, our dance cards, our calendars, our agendas, whatever you want to call them, are overstuffed ridiculously. And so we need to start recognizing that there's only 24 hours in a day. You're spending at least 8 of them at work if you're one of those poor schlubs like me who still gets up and goes to an office or someplace to try to make money. You need some time at home with your family or your dogs or, you know, your neighbors, whoever you spend time with. And you need a fair amount of sleep. And so when you deduct all of those things, you don't have a lot of time for fooling around, which means you have to prioritize what you are going to spend time on. And I think it's fair for people to do that. I think you're right. We do have to be careful how we indicate we're doing that. But I also think if ever there was an occasion for the good old social lie, that this is one of them. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to a friend's retirement luncheon. Or, oh, I'm sorry. I had promised to take an elderly neighbor, you know, to the movies or shopping or something that, you know, is important to them, not necessarily to you, and you're booked. Or I'm just feeling run down and I don't want to get anybody sick, especially people who may be, you know, pregnant or immunosuppressed. So I'm going to stay home. I'm going to do you the favor and stay home.
Right.
You know, there's ways that it can be done as opposed to, no, I don't want to.
And
maybe the bottom line, and it's completely understandable. I do. I am in sympathy, and I can say it to my husband because it's not going to hurt his feelings. His friends, he'll go and say, you know what? I did that husband thing. I didn't check with Karen until the last minute. She's already, you know, across town doing something else, and so she sends her best wishes and this gift.
Right. And, I mean, again, sounds so simple.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've come up a certain way, it's, you know, of course you can just say that. And of course you know how to do it. I'm not talking now about your husband. I'm just saying, of course you know how to say to somebody, hey, I'd love to, but probably, but sorry, not this time. And
mm-hmm.
I'm, again, raising the flag for the people who just don't know how to do that. I mean, literally are flummoxed by that.
You always give yourself a sore throat or a runny nose.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's like, oh, I know it's the beginning of that season. I don't know if this is that, but I'm going to stay home and blow my nose.
My kid is.
And people will thank you profusely.
Right. And there's no downside to that, really and truly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
because
so,
you're actually thinking of other people. You're not, they don't know, I don't want to go to this. It's like, yeah, my nose is running. A lot of people at work are sick. I'm thinking, I don't need to be around you guys.
I know. You also actually raise a really excellent point because one of the things, you know, my constant screen rant is how it has turned, you know, because people are relating not to those around them, but to their screen.
Mm-hmm.
It has taken away the sense of consideration. If you've never really had where you have to, there are 5 people in the house, and so therefore you've got to turn down the music really loud because otherwise someone's not going to get sleep. You know, if you haven't had that experience, then you don't really know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
That being considerate or seeing how. So your automatic thought isn't, oh, gee, Marcy is going to be happy not to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
If I breathe on her, but rather, oh, Marcy's going to be mad at me. And,
well, and that's the other thing. the whole guilt factor of, you know, people are going to be mad at me, or people are going to be offended that I didn't come, or people are going to be sad that I didn't show up. Rarely have I heard people say, this is really too bad. I mean, I've heard people say, this is too bad, we're going to miss you, but thank you for keeping your germs at home.
Yeah, and that's why it's one of the best ones.
Yeah, you know, and whatever you decide to say, just make sure it's consistent. You know, if you're going to make yourself be home and sniffling, then don't be out at the movies. You know,
right, and
stay home and watch Netflix. If you're going to be taking your elderly neighbor shopping, make sure it's an elderly neighbor that they don't know, so that when they run into her, they're going, oh, how was your shopping expedition with Karen? She says, what? What are you talking about? It's awkward to be caught in an untruth, and it's unnecessary if you construct the kind lie properly.
And that's, again, requires a certain type of thinking that might not be as automatic to someone as it is to someone who's just spent time considering how other people are going to feel about something. Long time ago, yeah, I was forced to learn this lesson way early when my mother, and I think I've told you this story before, but I was so excited about it was a birthday party, and I had literally invited my very favorite people to it, and they were mostly neighborhood folk, and then she picked me up at school, and she said, oh, are you coming? It's pretty much to someone that I could have just as soon not spent. And, oh, Mrs. Goodman. Anyhow, she ruined the entire thing. But, and we had to invite everybody.
Polite.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We had to, oh, I'll see you on Saturday. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it changed the tenor. So there is a certain amount of, you know, conscientiousness once and awareness of others. And that's why, especially if you spend a lot of time, you know, communicating with your screen, you might not necessarily realize that you gotta think about, all right, so you're going to say you're sick. But then what you don't want to do is make sure that somebody that, you know, a mutual acquaintance sees you.
Yeah. Snaps a picture of you coming out of, you know, the gym or whatever.
Right, but, looking in the pink of health. Right.
I thought I would see you, but this is where you were. It's like, okay, I know where I was.
Right.
Don't put it on social media. Yeah,
and,
so that's true.
And but the impulse to be more attentive to not spreading oneself too thin, basically to prioritize commitments, is not, not before time at this point.
Yeah, and also, it doesn't do anybody, when we stretch ourselves thin, we're sort of cheating everybody in the equation, because we're anxious about the time that we're spending on something that we didn't want to be there in the first place. I think that translates into inattention or distractedness on our part. The people who want us there feel like, well, what's the deal? You know, she's not herself. She's not really responding in the way that she normally does. She's, distracted. She's absent-minded. So you're giving less of you than you would under normal circumstances. And maybe that affects the whole vibe of the party or the whatever it is, rather than being fully present. So if you can't be fully present, you know, and you don't want to phone it in. And so if what you're doing will result in you phoning it in, then maybe that's an indication that you have too much on your plate. And people understand too much on your plate. What they don't understand is why you don't take something else off and leave their thing on your plate. But it's just like, look, I have to juggle. It's awkward and it's unfortunate. I will catch up with you, you know, next week. Maybe we can go to lunch or, you know, share coffee or something. But I can't do it this Saturday. The end.
Thank you very much, Karen Gracie Bates. Do the right thing.
I'm going off to erase some things on my calendar right this minute.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.